Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I come home, well, my body's been a mess and I miss your tender hip and the way you like the daggers. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Oh, why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. 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 Did you have but your house on up for sale? Did you get a good lawyer? I hope you didn't catch a thing. I hope you'll find the right man who'll fix it for you. And now you're shopping and anywhere, change the color of your hair. Pay that fine that you were dodging all the time. Are you still dizzy? Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess and I miss your tender head and the way you like the dress. I want you to come on over and stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over? Sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the world. And I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess and I miss your tender hair and the way you like to dig it. Won't you come on over and stop making a fool out of me?
Valerie. John?
Well, at least the machine boots fast.
Yeah, that's good. Remember the old days? You'd wait like forever.
It's like I know. Well, this particular machine, which is a NUC, which is old and it runs Windows 10 and runs a special version of it that can't be upgraded.
So what are you going to do if you need to upgrade?
It doesn't get upgraded. I don't want it to be upgraded. It doesn't fix anything because it's a very obscure version of Windows 10 that nobody hacks. It runs like a champ. It's fast. Yeah. It's like ridiculous.
That's good. I like it. I like it. Well, sorry we're late here for everybody out there listening, so we'll get it on. Okay, let's go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 30th, the last day of our show for the year of 2025, yeah. 30th of December.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful year, if I do say so myself. I think we've had a great, I'm talking about for the show, right?
Yeah, the show's excellent.
I mean, yeah, it just gets better with age, like a very fine wine or a really great bourbon. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I am going to, I've been putting this off for a while. And at 4:30 tomorrow, I have a schedule. At 4:30 tomorrow when the markets close, I am going to have with a friend a glass of Weller 12 with one ice cube and a little bit of a lemon rind in there.
Is that something you do every year?
You know, every year I try to have make the moment to have something special, some special drink. It doesn't have to be something crazy expensive, whatever. This year in particular, though, we were able to get our hands on Weller 12, which is a $50 bottle of bourbon, which is not expensive, right? That's just run-of-the-mill bourbon, but very difficult to get. It's made by the same company that makes Pappy Van Winkle. It is, those who know will call it the baby Pappy. And I, by the way, Adam Curry is the reason for this, that I have this bottle.
But he sent you a bottle?
No. What, are you kidding? No. No.
Yeah, what am I thinking?
No. What happened was I was at a bar in Austin, Texas. I was visiting. He and Tina when they lived in Austin. And Jill and I were at a bar, and I asked for an old-fashioned Manhattan. I forgot what it was. I think it was an old-fashioned. I asked for an old-fashioned sitting at the bar, and they made me an old-fashioned. I said, you know, I got to tell you something. Excuse me. This is delicious. This is really, this could be one of the best old fashions I've ever had. What did you make this with? He said, I just made it with our house brand and this and that. And I said, well, what is the house brand? He says, Weller 12. I said, you know what? I don't know that one, but when I get home, I'll get a bottle. Lo and behold, I find out.
Wait. Who's pouring Weller 12 into cocktails?
I'm telling you.
Was it the Four Seasons?
No, this was just a corner restaurant. I forgot what it was called. It was... I'll remember the restaurant. It was just like a barbecue kind of place, a nice, decent restaurant. Nothing terribly fancy. Just a corner, good restaurant in Austin, on the right off the main street there. So I was like, this is delicious. And they said, yeah, it's just the stuff we use here. So I get home. Lo and behold, I find out you're not getting this. There is not a chance you're getting this bottle. In Florida, it only goes to ABC Liquors, and you have to be on a special list. And blah, 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 blah. So I go on the hunt.
So that means you have to have it now.
I have to have it. You know what I did, right? This is about 4 years ago. I found out the number to the president of Sazerac, which is the distillery that makes this. And I contacted him. I hocked him. And he says he's going to send me a bottle of the next generation, because they do it, I think, in February or so. And at the next distillation that comes out in the next, I don't get anything. Another one, I don't get.
Crazy story.
I got him. Then I don't get it. So I say, okay, whatever. I'm at a party and somebody pours me a Weller 12. I'm like, my God, that's delicious. I'm in Montauk, Long Island in the summer. I look up, I see in a liquor store on the top shelf, a bottle of Weller 12, which I do not have in my possession. I said, how much is that bottle of Weller 12? They said $250. And I said, I'm going to be mad if I buy it, and I'm going to be mad if I don't buy it. So I bought it. Ticket home. Still have some. But here's where the story gets interesting.
Yeah.
Here's where the story gets interesting. ABC Liquors has something called the Vault. If you spend more than $1,000 a year, you get into this thing, and they send you specials on a regular basis of things that become available. If you get that email and you're the first one to buy it, it's not an auction, it's a buy, you get it. Well at 12 comes up about maybe 4 weeks ago. The guy in my office goes, look, Well at 12. I said, hit it. We hit it and we won. $50.
Yeah, that's what it should go for.
Yeah, $50. So we're going to crack that bottle tomorrow. Very excited. A long way around for that.
Shaggy dog story about bourbon.
Oh, we have so much. Listen, let's be honest, though. It is the time for New Year. Life is just a stringing together of fine stories that make up your life, isn't it?
You could see it that way if you wanted.
Well, I want to. There you go.
Life could also be primordial ooze.
Oh.
That's what I think of it.
Really? Just okay.
Just a bunch primordial ooze.
Just a bunch of gunk coming out of everywhere.
Get out of there, huh?
Yeah. Well, the CTP Cup, the Close to the Pin Cup, is ongoing. All systems go. We talked about that. Everybody's in there. Ends tomorrow after the close of the markets. So that's going to be exciting. We'll talk about that at our next show. Lots to be excited about in the markets. Lots to be anxious too. That's why our theme, did you see the name of this podcast? Did you see the actual title of this podcast?
Auld Lang Syne.
A little take on Auld Lang Syne.
It's a pun.
Yeah, a little bit there. A little something, something. We're going to be looking at some of the weird GDP data points, and we're going to call some BS on the Russia-Ukraine peace talks. What a bunch of garbage going on there. Markets, gold and silver.
And this kind of thing is news to you?
No, not news. But
unexpected news is like gambling?
No, but it is, once again, reinforcement of some of the things that we talk about a lot on how to listen and understand what's going on so that you can make money or at least save yourself from losses. Because a lot of people will be like, oh, great, that's going to happen, and this will happen. When in fact, it's just junk. More ooze, I guess. Closing out the markets on a very healthy note for this year. We have some numbers into the close. Markets are peddling, kind of treading water a bit into the close. I don't think anybody wants to sell too much into the end. And one of the reasons is buyers still hot, buying any dip. So I don't think anybody's really that excited into the end of the year with low volumes to do anything significant.
Yeah, it's very every year it's like this.
Yeah, it just gets slower and slower and slower.
Almost identical from last year.
Exactly. Diet pills are coming. Diet pills are coming. This is a big thing. People don't like to give themselves the shots.
Who wants to give yourself shots constantly?
Yeah, I agree. So we'll talk about that. One other story that relates to bourbon, I want to tell you about this because I also just want to give a shout out to somebody. I have been in the process. You know I tinker, right?
No, I don't know that you tinker. You do. I'm not even sure what tinker means.
You know, I get into...
I know what putter means. I know a lot of people that putter. They retire and then they putter. But tinker, don't know.
Tinker is like I get involved in certain things. Like last week I was making all sorts of breads. I made a fennel bread that was kind of light and airy.
And you call that tinkering. See, tinkering to me is always something mechanical.
Well, cooking is mechanical. No? Scientific?
I'm not sure now that you mention it, what I would call it.
All right. Am I puttering then?
You're more puttering than tinkering.
All right. I'm puttering. So I'm puttering around. I made three different breads. I made a fennel bread. I made a hatch pepper and olive loaf, and I made a pan de jamón, which is a traditional Venezuelan dish where you roll up ham and raisins and
olive. I'm familiar with it.
But I also have been making my own bitters.
Yes, you mentioned this in the last show.
I made a chocolate that came out really good, dark cherry.
My son is a bitters nut. He makes bitters.
I wanted to mention this because I've been going back and forth because I made three or four bitters recipes and some infusions. Great. One epic failure that I opened up last night. I tasted it. Literally, my mouth went numb. Not kidding. So
what did you have in there? Pufferfish or something?
I had anise, star anise, and cloves. And the clove oil supposedly was used as an ancient mouth-numbing type of concoction through dentistry. And I guess I had too much cloves in there. So it extracted a dramatic amount of the clove oil through the alcohol extraction process that I left, you know, let it sit there for 7 or 8 days. So I contacted the people. They were very, very helpful at High Desert Botanicals. And I if anybody's interested in some really cool puttering or tinkering with this kind of thing, making your own, you can buy a couple of little bottles. You can buy a whole big kit. HighDesertBotanicals.com. Highly recommend checking these guys out. Very nice. He walked me through it, gave me a couple of recipes, looked at my recipe, told me what I did wrong, and we went from there. But really cool. Really nice. I don't know what we'd call it. It's a specialty kind of place to go to find really nice bottles and all the different ingredients, like the cinchinoa bark and this kind of weed and this kind of, you know, cardamom seed, all the stuff. High Desert Botanicals. Give them some business. We try to help the people that listen to us and do good for us, right?
I would say that it's probably something that I don't even know if JC knows about them. Maybe.
Will you tell him about this, please?
I will.
And tell him to please contact me.
Yeah, I have to. I'm remiss. This is my fault. I haven't said anything.
Yep. All right, New Year's Eve celebration. Cities across America, you know, ringing the new year, dropping unexpected objects. You know, we have the big ball. It was an apple for a while, I think, in the Big Apple, New York. Some of the things that we found out, I looked this up, and I found this really interesting on our New Year's Eve celebration discussion. Amelia Island, Florida, drops a giant shrimp. Nashville drops a 400-pound musical note with 28,140 LEDs. I don't know if that 28,140 is something. It's 28 and half of 28 is 14, so I'm not sure what that means. Boise, Idaho, drops a glowing potato. Key West.
A hot potato.
Yep. Key West drops an 8-foot ruby red heel, complete with a drag queen inside. Now, in Spain, on New Year's Eve, the participants will gulp down 12 grapes, one for each midnight chime to bring luck for each month. And in Denmark, Danes will toss old dishes at friends' doors because large piles of broken crockery and the dawn are seen as tokens of good luck. I don't know where that comes from. I don't understand it either.
It was, if it's got anything to do with breaking pottery, it probably had to do with some guild that makes pottery, and they had to stay in business somehow by creating a myth.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like the Hallmark cards of pottery. Create a holiday for the cards. You smash.
You got to come up with something here. We got to make more pots. People are stopped. They're not buying our great pots.
Let's convince them to break them.
Bust them.
I like that. That's a certain economic thesis that's based on that. There is some thesis that people love. I'm not remembering his name, where he said just spill something so that a waitress can pick it up and therefore has a utility. That is not was it Keynes?
No, I don't think Keynes. No, I don't think
Keynesian. So. Yeah, it's Keynesian. I think it's Keynesian.
You think so?
I think so. Anyway, what a year. So many themes in the last 12 months. We had AI, we had tariffs. I have sitting in my studio right here, the front and center to my left on a little stand has been, since it happened last April, the reciprocal tariff chart, which just gives me a chuckle every time I look at it.
Oh, that crazy chart?
Mm-hmm. China 67.
Classic, the one that Trump held up?
Yeah, Vietnam, 90% tariff. Crazy stuff. Took the markets down.
It's a collectible.
Oh, it's great. We had war, trade wars. We had fat drugs, deglobalization. It was a big one. Deglobalization, a big one. We had data centers, semiconductors, supporting infrastructure like the power and cooling systems, right? The whole idea where we had those SMR, small modular reactors. Those stocks were on fire for a while. And then we had the markets in general doing very well in the U.S., better outside of the U.S. Dow Jones Industrial up about 13% to close the year. It's almost there. Not there yet, but just about. S&P up 17%. NASDAQ 100 up 21%. Bitcoin down about 8%. Now, here's where it stands out. Gold up 64%. Silver up 145%.
Yeah.
U.S. dollar down about 9.5%. Emerging markets up 30%. One of the best years in, I don't know, close to a decade. Which is why you want to have emerging markets in your portfolio. When you set up a diversified portfolio like we do, we always say that there are going to be those years that they're a little dry, but when they go, they go. I've seen years where emerging markets, like, I mean, the KOSPI, the South Korean KOSPI, oh my God, it's up some ridiculous number this year. Best year in decades. China's up. Everybody thought it would be down. Doing very well in the rest of the world. I mean, look at Taiwan. And I mean, just amazing numbers from the emerging markets. That's also because the dollar's down 10%, so it helped give a bit of a tailwind. Yeah. So tech is looking a little bit frothy in certain names this year. And the big question is, you know, where are we going to go in 2026? And I think there is something to be said about the potential for continuation of some of the themes that are going on, and that could help out. There was in particular, I don't know if I wrote it down here. I didn't. But one of the things we're looking at is defense companies. That, you know, when I say defense, not defensive. Defense, you know, like a Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, defense. Yeah. Lockheed Martin. Yeah.
Raytheon, that's Boeing, General Dynamics, GE. These companies look really interesting in that even if we see some frothiness in tech and the markets come down, I think they still have a lot of funding. And the continuation of, we have now not the Department of Defense, we have the Department of
War.
Of War. So we are definitely on heightened alert here. We're building submarines. We're taking out, you know, you could use these cool New York terms. We're going to take them out. We're taking out people in Venezuela. You know, Iran all of a sudden is potentially making more nuclear weapons. We're gonna take them out. What's another word for that like that?
Tough guys.
Yeah, we're gonna snuff them. So I think there's something interesting. I actually have one thing that encompasses that I'm going to put on my pick this week.
Yeah?
Yep. I think it'll be interesting. And it's that time of year where we make resolutions. Now, on the Disciplined Investor podcast, which is my podcast I do with all those guests that come on, you have a podcast where you do each and every week, too, with Adam Curry. That's called No Agenda. That's on Thursdays and so Thursday is, what's the date? So New Year's Eve is on Wednesday. New Year's Day.
Thursday is New Year's Day. Yeah. We work on New Year's Day.
Of course you do. You're the hardest working guys.
We are hardworking guys.
So you got to listen to that as well. But everybody this time of year makes these resolutions. One of the things that I love going, I've told you this 100 times, I love just going by the various gyms, the health clubs, and seeing the parking lots. I would like to do a stop action. Or
yeah, they're packed.
They're packed for 2 months.
Right after the first.
2 months. Then slowly but surely, fewer and fewer cars.
Yeah, they're empty by April.
Top New Year's resolutions. I was able to go out and find some kind of list from somewhere that seems to be the ones, I guess there was some poll done or something. I don't know. But what do you think the number 1, 2, 3, 4 is?
Well, it's just a guess. I would say number 1 would be get in shape, lose weight. Those would be the big 2, it seems to me.
Exercise more, eat healthier, 1 and 2. Save more money, get out of debt.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I'd like to have a resolution to be happy, improve my mental health, lose weight.
I don't know how you do that, but okay.
Which conflicts with spend more time with family and friends, or spend more time with family, be happy, spend more time with family, learn a new skill or hobby, or get organized.
Get organized, that would be on my list.
Yeah, get organized. I'm gonna hit that closet and I'm gonna, it's my resolution.
I got lots of closets. I won't get through one of them.
No, why should you?
Yeah,
they're not bothering anybody.
No, I just close the door.
Right.
You're good to go.
That's the whole point of a door for a closet. If it was open, then you'd have to do something about it. But what's interesting, I talk about this on The Disciplined Investor, and I make a real case for the fact that I do not want people making resolutions about money, because it won't last. And what I mean by that is the resolutions are this, as I see it, these fleeting things I want to do, not commitments. Commitments are written.
I might disagree with that, because I think you can make one resolution about money. Don't use credit cards.
Well, on the other hand, if you're, I agree, don't build up credit cards, but use it like a charge card.
Yeah.
If you can, but that requires fiscal discipline.
That's why you probably shouldn't use them at all.
I mean, I use them. I just put a pretty substantial amount on a credit card just today to buy appliances for my kitchen. And I did that because we will get a tremendous amount of miles for travel. My wife figured out the card to use. I got like triple miles. I mean, I got a free flight to Europe or something like that. Some crazy thing.
Yeah, well, that's what she does.
Yep, she likes doing that. And God forbid I didn't do it, there's another whole thing. So I had to do it. Anyway, it's time to make those commitments, resolutions. Just a suggestion, write them down. Be accountable. Share them with somebody so that you are not the only one and you could break your own resolutions. Very easy to break a promise to yourself, don't you think, John?
I manage to do it every year.
Right? So tell somebody. You know, if you're going to lose weight, you're going to lose, I'm committed to losing 10 pounds by March. Make it quantifiable and make it accountable. Tell somebody else. And then they have to hold your feet to the fire.
Well, it's even better if you make a bet.
Okay. Yeah. Put some money on it. Exactly. Or something else. You know, win a trip somewhere. Somebody's going to do something. Okay. Let's talk about... this is kind of interesting, active management. You know, one of the things that has been a constant theme in the markets over the last number of years is the big, is it a question? Is it a debate? Is it a fight? This whole thing, you know, active versus passive funds, indexing and factoring over an active manager who just is picking stocks, let's say, with some kind of methodology, of course. And mutual funds were at the heart of this until Vanguard came around and started doing indexing and decided, you know, well, here's how you buy the S&P 500, the Russell 1000, the Russell 2000. Well, same report that seems to come out every single year, a small group of tech superstars, as we know, have accounted for a significant portion of the gains in the indices in 2025. Which is basically the same pattern that's been in place for about a decade. And because of that, people are saying, well, if active managers are not going to be able to keep up with the index, why bother? About $1 trillion was pulled from active equity mutual funds this particular year. This is the 11th year of net outflows. And passive exchange traded funds got... more than $600 billion. So there was a definitive flip. There's still $400 million missing, but there was a flip of $400 billion. There's a 400
in cash.
Yeah, somewhere. Somebody stuck is in somebody's closet. It's a closet with the door closed, so you don't see it. But that's a pretty substantial situation. So the problem is that the concentration of gains in a few stocks that are a huge portion. See, if you're an active manager, you're like, I'm not buying 9% of my portfolio in one stock. I'd like to have more diversification. The problem is the index doesn't care. If NVIDIA is 9% of the S&P 500, so be it. If the top 10 positions are 60% of the NASDAQ 100, so be it. So this goes back to like 2007. And... only 73% of equity mutual funds, only 27% of equity mutual funds beat their benchmarks for this year to date. So that's not so good.
No, say the least.
So there are some reasons, by the way, if people think, well, what the hell? I'm going to throw them out. I'm not going to do this. Definite reasons why you want to have active over passive. One, fixed income. Now, equities, I'll agree with. I'll go with active passive, especially if you have efficient markets. Your efficient markets in the United States, for example. We know the accounting. We know generally have stable government. We have a generally stable currency with some little hiccups here and there. But if you go to, pick Sri Lanka or, pick something, right? You probably want to have an active manager that knows what's going on there. Understands the tax system, understands the political situation. Look what happened in Nepal. I don't know what their stock market's like, but basically a social media. Did you talk about this on No Agenda?
No. Talk about the Zed thing that's going on around the world. Looks like it's CIA controlled, which is these quasi revolutions of these Gen Z folk
that
are all bent out of shape, and then they storm the parliament. It's been taking place all over the world, except in the United States, which makes us suspicious.
Well, in Nepal, it happened. And basically, the prime minister and the whole...
It happened in Korea, too.
They just quit. Everybody just quit. Goodbye. Done. So, efficient markets, boots on the ground, differentials. Interesting little story there. So, something to think about as we get into next year. The other thing to think about is you can now, very soon, make good on your resolution to lose weight because the fat pill is coming.
Fat pill.
Fat pill. Isn't that what Trump calls the fatty drug or something? The fat pill? Something like that. FDA has approved the first ever GLP-1 pill from Wegovy maker Novo Nordisk. Now, this is, again, one of the... there's a few of these, but basically it's Novo and Lilly.
Yeah, they'll be doing it.
And Novo has been trailing. It only deals with one receptor. Lilly's deals with two, and they're about to come out with a second drug that deals with three receptors. So supposedly, we talked about this, right? You're going to get...
That'll be the popular one, too. Yeah, we talked about it last show.
Yeah, you're going to lose all sorts of weight, plus it helps your knee or something like that. Seriously, seriously.
Right. Yeah, and you don't go bald. Something. There's a bunch of bull crap.
So it's going to be $149 a month. This is going to give a big head start to rival Eli Lilly. But it's kind of funny because Wegovy was the first in. Lilly kind of came out second. Lilly took over. Now this is almost the same kind of pattern where they're first in, but Lilly's going to probably take it to the goalposts when they come out with theirs. So it's going to be interesting. I'd like to say a hearty congratulations to whoever you are in Arkansas who won the $1.8 billion Powerball jackpot last Wednesday. One of the biggest we've ever seen. So it must have been a very good Christmas for that family.
If they even know they won. They haven't collected yet, as far as I know.
But don't they usually go through that whole, I can't tell anybody, I got to get some kind of an attorney?
Well, that's what you definitely want to do. You want to get a lawyer right away and then, some security guards, and then you don't tell anybody anything.
What the second thing you want
to
do.
And you also need a tax advisor.
And you also need an investment guy.
Yeah, you need it all.
You need an investment guy. And by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Arkansas, call me.
Andrew's available.
Call me. I had a lottery winner as a client some time ago. And it's interesting, the things that you need to kind of deal with from a planning standpoint. But it's helping people make sure they stay on the right path. Because you can get a little bit crazed with all that money.
Most people, they just screw it up.
Well, but you and I, we wouldn't change anything in our lives, would we?
I probably would. I would change. I would have the house painted.
Yeah. I'd get an Aston Martin.
Yeah, you. I see. I got a good car. It's old, but it's a fabulous vehicle, a Lexus. I wouldn't get an Aston. These high end cars are a pain in the ass.
No, but I wouldn't care. That's the point.
Yeah, I know, but they're still. They get keyed. It becomes a nuisance.
When you say they get keyed, there's not many keys around anymore. They'd get fobbed.
Yes, true. That's true. Had to bring a pen knife.
Yeah. I've always wanted the Aston Martin. I was really close to buying it one time, and then I was at the Aston Martin dealership, and I was with the president of Aston Martin USA, And I looked at the lease deal. I'm like, that's not terrible. I mean, it's terrible, but it's not that terrible. And I said to my wife, you know, she goes, whatever you want to do, if you want to do that, that's great and all that. And I'm like, okay. But she was goading me into it. Like if I really did it, she would have like taken the pen out of my hand kind of thing, right? And I'm like, I walked out and then I snapped out of whatever particular hypnotic state that I was put into by the president of Aston Martin, right?
And no, I said, yeah, I can. Well, that's what sales is. That's a good sales guy.
Yeah. It was a woman, but yeah, she was good. She was good. The winning numbers for the lottery, 425. I like to look at the winning numbers to figure if I would ever pick these on my own. And I would happily say that I don't think, maybe one number. One out of all these I would have picked. It's 420.
One, yeah. Yeah. Okay, what are the numbers?
425, 31, 52, 59, and the Powerball was 19. Odds are 1 in 292 million. Not terrible.
No.
So, silver. Hi-ho, silver. An amazing year. Did you watch the Lone Ranger and all that? And Tonto and...
Yeah. You brought up Tonto before.
How about Bonanza? Did you like Bonanza?
I think I watched it. I never, you know, I watched it because it was a good show on during an era when there was not that many good shows. It was highly produced. It was overproduced, actually. And I had watched it, but I look back. They still play it, of course, on these weird over-the-air TV stations. And it's kind of unwatchable.
Yeah. Petticoat Junction? Was that in that same era? Yeah,
that's a classic.
Yeah. Anyway, silver futures on Sunday night ran up to, they were like, I was having dinner, and they ran up to like $83. I remember $60 last week or so. I was like, wow, that's a lot. It ran up to $83, popped. And then turned tail down about 7% on Monday. The range that day from the opening of the silver futures on Sunday night until Monday morning, it was about $83 to $71, a 15% range in one day.
Yeah.
And there's some rumors about this collapse of a bank that had a wrong position on silver. But I'm like, these rumors are just, if you stop for a second and just absorb them, like, what bank's going to have a short position on futures, on silver futures like that? For what purpose?
Yeah, nobody.
I don't understand what the purpose would be. So anyway, turned around and let's see where silver futures are now, because they did pop back a little bit. And right now they are at 75. So
yeah, that's good.
That's good. Doing a little bit. Came up a little bit today. Came down. Bitcoin, 88,000. Ethereum's at 2,900. Nothing else is doing very well. Solana's held its way throughout the year. Year-to-date, Solana's actually down 41%. Everybody said that was the next big thing, Solana. There was a breach in South Korea. Retail giant Coupang said it'll offer 1.69 trillion South Korean won, or 1.17 billion U.S. dollars, in compensation to 34 million users affected by a massive data breach disclosed last month. So this is about 4% of Coupang's annual revenue, but a very, very large chunk of their actual net profits. It equates to $34 per user.
Yikes.
What is that? That by the way, by the time you get that, it's not going to be that. And if you think about how much we'll really get paid, because people don't collect, it could be in a gift card, it could be on a coupon, who knows, right?
Yeah.
They don't cash the check if it's a check. There's 100 different reasons why those things don't happen.
Well, I've gotten a couple of checks I still haven't ever cashed there for a penny.
Yeah.
Cost them more than a penny to ship me the check.
It's nuts. NVIDIA has a new deal that they put together. A bunch of deals keep on coming through the pipelines here. It says they didn't announce it publicly necessarily. It didn't come out with a big, you know, hoopla like Jensen Huang usually does in his black leather jacket. There's a $2 billion ticket price to this Grok deal, G-R-O-Q. It was talked about last Wednesday. It was described as a non-exclusive licensing agreement. This is a tool that's being used by tech giants and late to be part of the idea of, we'll do this and then we don't have to deal with regulatory scrutiny. Because, of course, if you buy a company, it always comes with a concern about, will this actually pass muster from a Department of Justice standpoint, right?
This is a disaster, by the way.
This deal or this concept?
The concept of what they're doing, because this began. My son is locked into this, and he gave me a long lecture about it. It started with Google. They bought a company, but they didn't buy the company at all. They bought the founders and just let the company slide. And so all the workers, the Silicon Valley model is that you have people that work for less money. They work for stock options. Mm-hmm. They work for all these things other than cash. And the idea is that if you get lucky and you're with the right company, these the founders sell the whole company to somebody for this huge amount of money. And everybody benefits. The whole company benefits. You get a lot of millionaires made that way. But with the Google deal and this deal, the Grok deal, and a couple of others that have shown up, they're just buying the top guys because they don't want to go through the whatever problem it is, and they're letting the employees just go. You're on your merry way. Sorry, you got screwed on that deal, which is a real problem, I think, with the culture of Silicon Valley, and they're going to have a lot of trouble in the future if this is any sort of trend, and it looks to be.
Yeah, the analysts are saying that the reason that this is happening the way it is in this particular deal, they said that antitrust trust in this particular deal would be the primary risk. And though, as you structure this with this non-exclusive license agreement, it's going to keep the fiction of competition alive. That's a pretty hefty statement right there. You know, believing that, because it's non-exclusive, when in fact, again, wink and a handshake, right?
Same yeah, it's exclusive.
Yeah. And Grok's going to remain an independent company. So you say to him, hey, we're going to. Same thing. It's also the same circular financing and all that. Same deal. Hey, look, I'm going to give you $20 billion. You're going to come over here. You're going to use all of our chips. You'll make sure to do it over a period of time. You don't have to use our chips. But we gave you $20 billion. But if you don't have to use our chips...
Yeah, although there's a string tied to the money.
Yeah, exactly.
You just pull it out. You pull it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Fishing wire, yep. Fishing line.
Yep. GDP consumption, interesting numbers came out this week, or last week. It was last week. Something's a bit off. So with the marketplace, the healthcare marketplace costs increasing. I told you my premium's going from $900 to $1,300. It just went. It's just tomorrow. They're going to pull $1,300 out of my account for me alone. My health insurance coverage with a $7,500 deductible.
Yeah, which is useless.
The whole thing's useless. And it can't be used out of state. I had a specialist I wanted to see recently, which is actually a guy I know that I never went to his office before for my elbow. And they called me the day before and they said, you know, this is interesting. They said, you know, you're not covered. Your insurance is not accepted by us. I said, okay, that's not a problem. What's the cost? Do you know what they told me the cost for an initial consult with this elbow specialist was?
Well, it should be about $100.
Yeah, yeah. You're off by a multiple of 13. $1,300
just to say hello?
Yep. Just to look at my elbow and say.
They usually have a special deal if you don't have insurance. Yeah.
They don't. I guess they don't want
it. Sounds like an insurance price.
Yeah, maybe they don't want it. Maybe they don't want it.
Maybe they don't want you as a customer.
Yeah, it seems that way. So the GDP surge that we saw, you know, approaching like 4%, where did that all come from? Where do we see all that consumption from? There's a great chart here. You go over to episode number 784 at dhunplugged.com, and you can see this chart. Check this out. Do you see that? That gigantic green bar on the top of this chart?
Yeah.
Healthcare.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
0.75% of the total GDP in, you know, the personal consumption for GDP was from healthcare. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's number one on the list.
It's unbelievable. So, and then financial services and insurance was also not high, but it was in there.
It's too high.
Insurance costs are ridiculous. So that's a combination of your insurance, your healthcare, and all that. That may be, I don't know what the reason for that is, but it's a pretty substantial increase. And
because they can get away with it. That's the reason. Whatever happened to the health, or the insurance commissioners that actually had a bite?
Nope. I guess not anymore. And by the way, there's nothing you could do. The insurance we have now and the health plan, aside from Medicare and all that, because those plans, you know, you could pretty much, it's a good deal. And if you're in a large corporation, if you have anything else, it's awful. It's just literally awful. And if I can't even imagine for people that can't afford, the insurance, what they do. I mean, they go to, I guess, emergency rooms and all that, right? It's terrible. Terrible. All right, Russia, Ukraine, the BS I was talking about, less than an hour after the White House claimed great movement towards peace. Well, Putin told President Trump that Russia was going to be revising its negotiation position. And Russian foreign minister Sergey Lavrov says that Ukraine tried to attack Russian President Putin's house. I don't know.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they said that now the whole deal's like off. I don't know, does anybody listen to the crap that's coming out of either the White House, out of Russia, out of Ukraine? And all this stuff is just bullshit. The stuff that's coming out these days, you know, about the best this year probably was the 600% reduction in pharmaceutical costs. And Lutnick trying to explain this. You got to watch that video. It's hysterical. So, kind of interesting. What else do we got?
Well, that's a big deal. But although most people don't pay, they don't notice it because the insurance is picking up the tab for most of the drug costs, for example. And they're supposed to reduce the cost of drugs. And that means the insurance company won't have to pay as much. But you'll still be paying your $5 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And your premiums won't go down.
Yep. Nope. How's it going to go down?
Why, with this big drug deal, why isn't the premiums, you yourself just said your premiums went way up.
Yep. About 40%.
Yeah. So I'm not seeing the benefit of any of this. Yep.
A couple of other things that are intermittent in here. Oil, crude oil futures down about 9.5% year to date. Much of the drop is due to the pickup in production, supply demand issues. Still a floor. This is kind of maybe something to look at in 2026. Still a floor due to the fact that we have Russian issues, of course, Nigeria, now Venezuela, which Nigeria, Venezuela, not a big producer. Clearly, Russia not in our markets. But there is some talk about OPEC now going to be reducing production. They want to start firming up pricing. So yeah, that may happen in the beginning.
Sounds like you have to have another meeting.
Yeah, yeah. OPEC, non-OPEC.
So we have coming up in October, this October, I don't know if you're aware of this.
What's that?
But the province of Alberta, Canada, which has got one of the biggest supplies of oil sitting there under the ground, may vote for independence.
Oh. And how's that going to work? And what would that mean?
That would mean they'd be their own country.
So they would be their own oil-producing country.
Yeah, and so they could start cranking out oil. And, of course, we'd be all for that. We're probably, I'm sure, happy if this happens because now we can just put those pipelines up and let them go at it.
That's.
And it sounds like it's going to win, by the way. People aren't talking about it yet, but it's going to affect the markets, so should be aware of it.
And do you think Alberta will be a country that is in good stead with us versus Canada that's not buying, let's say, for example, our alcohol and spirits?
Yes.
Okay. That'd be good.
We're buddies with Alberta.
Oh, good. Yeah. Speaking about drinking, I was just looking about this. I don't know why I found this came up somewhere. There was some discussion of who was the biggest drinker of all time of spirits. But there's no like record per se. But did you know that one of the heaviest drinkers was legendary wrestler Andre the Giant?
Well, he's big. He can probably drink quite a bit.
He famously downed 119 beers in one sitting.
Wow.
Could you imagine?
I can't imagine taking the time to do that. That's a lot time consuming.
And the bloating. The bloating. It's got to sit hard. Yeah. Let's see what we got here. A lot of other things going on here. some car news. I think this is kind of interesting. The best auto stock for 2025, GM. It was up 55% for the year.
Yeah, I saw that. It was kind of interesting. It would have been a nice pick.
Ford was up 35%. Best year coming out of bankruptcy since 2009 for GM. Here's the interesting twist to this. Mary Barra, who is the CEO, throughout the year sold $73 million worth of her GM stock, which equates to 73% of her total position. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's an insider trade for some reason. She must not see it the way you see it, or the way anyone, the way the analysts see it. She must see it differently.
Yep. She has constantly contended that the stock was undervalued. So I don't know why you're selling the stock if it's undervalued. So I don't know. Something to think about. I thought you'd like that. And cars. This is kind of an odd situation with Tesla. Tesla published a series of sales estimates that were put out by various analysts out there on their site, and they were terrible. Basically, vehicle deliveries were down significantly by many of these analysts, and the analysts expected delivery to be 422,000 cars in the fourth quarter, down 15% from a year earlier. Now,